Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Sapan Guy, CCO of Sovereign Metals. Welcome back, Sapan. Hope you're well.
Yeah, not too bad, Phil. Too bad.
Very good. So in a groundbreaking development, mining giant Rio Tinto has announced a strategic investment of $40.4 million, acquiring a 15% shareholding in Sovereign. This investment will drive the advancement of the Kasia Rutile Graphite project in Malawi, paving the way for a new supply of low CO2 footprint natural rutile and flake graphite. With Rio Tinto's expertise and assistance, Sovereign aims to focus on the production of spherical purified graphite for the booming lithium-ion battery anode market. This partnership marks a significant step towards supply chain decarbonisation and achieving net zero, whilst also bringing substantial benefits to Malawi. Tell us more about this exciting news, Sapan.
Yeah, exciting is really the word, right? I mean, if you need a strategic partner, you can't really get better than Rio Tinto PLC. When we discovered Kasia back in 2019, we already knew, you know, as the biggest rutile deposit in the world, and as it's grown, it's become, you know, one of the largest graphite deposits in the world as well. So one huge project, two critical minerals that are going to affect the downstream industries in a big way, very low CO2 footprint. We knew that there would be interest in the project from that point on, right? So we had a number of inbounds from a number of potential strategic partners. Obviously, for us, having Rio Tinto there as our strategic partner makes complete sense. They're huge in the titanium dioxide space. They produce about 1.2 million tons a year, and they've been building out their battery minerals division, including a battery test plant, which they built out in Melbourne. And remember, Rio's already got, you know, MOUs with the likes of Ford, Volvo, BMW. So we're sat here with what is probably our ideal strategic investor.
Indeed. So basically, I'm right in thinking that Rio also has the option to increase its stake to 19.99% within the next 12 months, right?
Yeah. So let me give a bit of color to the numbers in the announcement. So Rio Tinto obviously wants to be strategic investor in Sovereign. For that to happen, they would want to have a minimum of 15% of the company. So that's your 15% that we've initially issued shares for, and that brings in $40 million that we can put towards the DFS. And they've been issued with options to take them up to 19.99%, which is the threshold before they'd have to make a mandatory bid under Australian takeover rules.
Yeah, so I was going to ask about that. There was a mention about the, was it an end date? Do you want to add a bit more colour to that? I think it was the investor end date means the earlier of 90 days after the company announces its DFS results, or 180 days after the announcement of the DFS, if Rio Tinto's advises it needs additional time to consider the exercise of Rio Tinto's option.
Yes, yeah, so we'll be working with Rio Tinto very closely to get a DFS done on Kasia. That is the use of proceeds. So that $40 million initial investment, plus if they exercise their options, that'll bring in probably another $18 million. That, for us as we stand today, looks like enough to get us to a DFS, through to the end of a DFS. I think previously we've talked about a DFS being completed by the end of next year. Obviously, now with our new strategic partner on board, we'll have to discuss what that DFS actually looks like with them, and we'll have a technical committee with oversight of the scope of the DFS. That'll consist of members of Sovereign, chaired by Sovereign, but also members of Rio Tinto's team. So a lot of good technical oversight we'll automatically get from this agreement. They'll help us with qualifying our graphite product. They have a bunch of rights that come along with the investment agreement, which includes the rights to be the first right of refusal on any future capital raises, ? Whether we even need to do any more now. They have a right of first refusal over any M&A at the project level and the Malawian subsidiary level. They get to appoint a board observer or a director. They're choosing which one. And look, they have this option, which is they have the option to become operator of the project And alongside that, they get exclusive marketing rights to 40% of the annual production of all products coming out of Kaseya. Now, all of those bells and whistles do have this investor end date, which you alluded to, overriding all of those, which is within 90 days of us publishing a DFS, if they don't want to, for any reason, wish to become operator, all of those rights basically disappear.
So in simple terms, Serpan, basically Rio have given you all the money to do the DFS. The DFS is going to happen within the next probably 12 months, and they either buy you or walk away.
Yep, people can make those from reading the announcement.
Okay, and ultimately they already know the graphites, they already know that the titanium dioxide is there. The DFS is going to basically paint the financial picture just a little bit more clearly than we already have done so far. These guys don't invest $40 million just for fun, and then another $18 million. So what price is the option at? What further higher price is the option to buy the extra 5% at?
So we did the initial at a 10% premium to the 45-day VWAP, and then the options get exercised down at 10% premium to that subscription price, which is pretty much in line with, you know, these size of strategic investor deals in the market.
Yeah, and then it's going to be down to them then to negotiate with you or with the market if they buy a bit more and then potentially take it over. It wouldn't be like, and I mean, this is me speaking, not you, but it wouldn't be like Rio to operate through a small cap company that's based in Australia or the UK, in all honesty. The silence is golden at this point, guys. So,
yeah. I was just looking, Serpan, earlier about Rio and what they're doing really in terms of investments. And I saw that they'd invested about $1 billion in their Kennecott operation in the US, which I believe is in Utah, which will boost its copper output and aluminium. So they're kind of very much electric EV focused. And we've also seen them investing in solar projects to presumably decarbonize. Do you think this is the start of these majors recognizing that they need to shore up their assets and resources by investing more into plants and resources which they see as important or critical?
I think there's no doubt that the critical minerals and the criticality of supply of these minerals is at the forefront of anyone in the mining industry right now. It's the reason why, you know, the junior explorers towards our end of the market are looking for the next big graphite project or the next big lithium project, copper, you know, cobalt, manganese. These are critical minerals that have been written down by policyholders across the world, right? Whether it's the U.S. Inflation Reduction Act or the U.S.-Japanese tie-up off the back of that act, you know, everyone is looking at these critical minerals now and trying to shore up their supply chain. And almost, you know, obviously there's the overlay of doing it outside of or without any kind of foothold within China. So I think everyone understands the importance of these. If we are to move to, for lack of a better pun, greener pastures on a global scale.
Yeah. I was also reading analysts at Berenberg reckon Rio could become much more involved and much more invested in the future. According to Berenberg, the Rio investment benefits sovereigns from a reputational project, de-risking and financial perspective. And to quote, we would also expect that ESG factors will take center stage relating to both Kaseya's low carbon footprint and Rio's positive influence from a project development standpoint, the bank added. Berenberg, I believe, has a buy rating for Sovereign with a 90p price target, suggesting more than 200% upside, even after Monday's reaction to the investment.
We've worked hard on the ESG front with this story. Not only do the commodities actually end up in decarbonization solutions, but if we're going to produce them, we want to make sure that that's a low carbon footprint. And that was a key element driving, you know, a lot of the discussions with strategic partners, not just Rio Tinto, but also, you know, in terms of future customers of ours as well, and previous offtake discussions as well. The low CO2 footprint of Kaseya is a huge plus for it.
Yeah, I think sadly, it's a bit of an indictment of the market at the minute. You know, the banks saying 90p, share price is 28, 29p. I think it's a matter of time. I think everything is now in place for you guys. Sovereign Metals has the money now to do the DFS. Everybody was worried about all the dilution that might have to happen for that to happen. Now the money's there. You have a huge reputational partner or with great reputation. And yeah, the future is looking bright.
Yeah, it definitely unlocks significant benefits for the development of Cassia, for all stakeholders, you know, and we're pretty happy that we've managed to get this agreement with Rio Tinto, who now are our biggest shareholder.
Sapan Guy, CCO of Sovereign Metals, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, gents.
Thanks, Sapan.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.